بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه وأهل بيته أجمعين أما بعد Today is the last lesson before Inshallah with the will of Allah I leave for Umrah and we would like to finish off the series of introducing each surah of the Holy Quran. And there is substantial amount of surahs left to cover before we end until قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. So today, without any frills, without any introduction, still straight to the lesson. Katana wajah is tarah na dekho, okay? You know, in every breath of yours there is some chalaki. There is something. Whether you laugh, or whether you grin, or whether you're quiet, or you shake your beard. There is something. Ji beta, chalo. Dekho, we have finished Surah Iqra Bismi, Suratul Alaq. We are now on page 140, Suratul Qadri. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Suratul Qadri is found on page 840 on most 13-lined Quran. It's the 97th surah in the order of the Holy Quran, and it is called Suratul Qadri. It's called Suratul Qadri simply because the whole surah discusses nothing other than Laylatul Qadr. Because the whole story discusses Laylatul Qadr, and repeatedly a number of times the word Qadr has been mentioned in the surah, this is why this surah has been named as Suratul Qadri. Nobody is yet sure what exactly Qadr means. We know Laylatul Qadr is that night. But what exactly Qadr means, the night of Qadr means what? The night of destiny. The night of appreciation where we need to do its qadr, like we say qadr karna. Or taqadr also comes from the word destiny and destination and destiny, qadr, taqdir. So there are lots of different sort of interpretations and references made in relation to what exactly qadr means. Without going into the detail, however, this is one of the rare surahs in the whole Quran where only one subject has been discussed so emphatically and explicitly from the beginning until the end. Usually you will find in the Holy Quran where within one chapter so many different stories, different ahkamat, different facts from one end to the other. Sometimes just life, sometimes akhirat. You know, from one end to the other, within one surah is discussed all different things. Rarely you will come across in the Holy Quran wherein one surah only discusses one subject. Suratul Qadr is one of them. Wherein from the very early beginning of the surah until the last word, everything is discussed about Laylatul Qadr. Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. Indeed, we anzalna, nazzalna, unzila, it means what? Revelation, to reveal. So, inna anzalnahu means we have revealed it, referring it to the Quran. Indeed, we were the ones who revealed it in the night of Qadr. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran the first time, it took place on the night of Qadr. Now it's not the Iqra Bismi Allah is talking about when he, Jibreel alayhi salam, met he alayhi salam the first time. That was night of Qadr. No, it's not referred to that. it is referred to the fact that Quran is always Quran is eternal. Just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is eternal, His speech, Quran, is also eternal. It's always been there. Later on, this was transferred into the hard drive of Allah's computer called Lawhi Mahfuz. Bal huwa Quranun Majid fi Lawhi Mahfuz. This is Quran that has been stored in Lawhi Mahfuz. So Lawhi Mahfuz is the, you know, they say preserved tablet. What preserved tablet? In the modern world, if we want to understand, this is some sort of Allah's very special divine gadget. It's a divine gadget wherein entire the whole information of everything is stored. Within that computer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also stored His speech, Quran. So Quran was there in Lawhi Mahfuz, in the hard drive computer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there was a time when Allah downloaded the Quran, the whole Quran, from Lawhi Mahfuz onto the first heaven, the heaven that we can see. The first time when it was downloaded from Lawhi Mahfuz and sent to the first heaven, this took place on the night of Qadr. It was Ramadan probably, most probably. Unless things changed where Laylatul Qadr used to be on another month and later it started to be celebrated in Ramadan. That is something different. But the night was Laylatul Qadr, whether it was the 21st or 23rd or 25th or 27th. But it was Laylatul Qadr when first time Quran was downloaded from the computer of Allah to the first heaven. This happened in Laylatul Qadr. And Allah speaks about this. In other words, Allah is not emphasizing on the revelation of the Quran the first time. Allah is emphasizing on how great Laylatul Qadr is, that when we want to reveal the Quran the first time, out of 355 nights, we chose Laylatul Qadr. So indeed, we revealed it in the night of Qadr. وَمَا أَدَرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what do you know, O Prophet of Allah, what Laylatul Qadr is? Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. I don't want to go too much into the detail, otherwise we will not be able to complete. And these are facts that everybody know and knows anyway. تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ. All the angels, or many angels, وَالْرُوحُ, and especially the ruh. Ruh sometimes refers to our soul, ruh. And sometimes ruh refers to Jibreel alayhi salam. His title, his name is Jibreel. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used his title, Doctor, Mulana sahab, Master sahab, Fulan sahab. So sometimes Allah has referred Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam by his title. And one of his titles is Ruh. So not always in Quran, Ruh means soul and spirit. And not always does it mean Jibreel alayhi salam. It refers to Jibreel alayhi salam. It depends on the context in which the Ruh has been used. Either it could mean the soul, or it could mean Jibreel alayhi salam. Here, it's in the context of referring to Jibreel alayhi salam. Indeed, the Malaika and Ruh, in other words, and Jibreel alayhi salam, they descend fiha, in it, during the night of Laylatul Qadr, in other words, bi'idhni rabbihim, with the order of their Lord, min kulli amr, with all different matters. Salam, the night is full of peace. Hatta hiya hatta matla'i al-fajr. This celebration continues until tulu'i fajr, until the rising of the dawn.
Ji.
So it's quite strange that how many times Laylatul Qadr has been used, fi Laylatul Qadr. Then again, wama adraka ma Laylatul Qadr. Again, Laylatul Qadr. Otherwise, you could have easily, first time you use in the next time, what do you say? And what do you know what it is? Isn't it? Generally in talking. I mean, you say, it is. But Allah repeatedly uses the word Laylatul Qadr. Anyway, this is Suratul Qadr. So in other words, Laylatul Qadr always existed, because this is well before our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has come to the dunya, when Quran was downloaded from the computer of Allah to the first heaven. This happened well before Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this happened in Laylatul Qadr, which we gather that Laylatul Qadr always existed, even long before our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to the world. However, to the Ummah, this was revealed at some point when he was in the last few years of his life in Medina. It was revealed to public what Laylatul Qadr is. Next, Suratul Bayyinah. Suratul Bayyinah, Surat number 98, page 840. Suratul Bayyinah. The reason why the Surat is called Suratul Bayyinah, because very soon, when once the surah starts, then in the second line, or within the first verse, لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ مُنْفَكِّينَ حَتَّى تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةِ. Because of this word بَيِّنَةِ, the surah is always remembered as Suratul Bayyinah. What does Bayyinah mean? Bayyinah means evidence. Bayyinah means proof. Any hard, strong proof is called bayyina. Okay. So if you go to an Islamic court, they say, what is your bayyina? What is your proof? Okay. In what context this proof has been used for Allah to use this word bayyina? Allah in the first verse, Allah is claiming that the kuffar, even from the people of the books, and the mushrikeen, there was no way these people could have ever changed their religion, their lifestyle, and become Muslim. There was no way. It was impossible, because they were so rigid and they were strong in their own ways and in their own beliefs. There was nothing going to change them until a very clear evidence came to them. Otherwise, they were never going to change. The people of the books and the idolaters were never going to budge from their beliefs until something very, very extraordinary, a very clear evidence came to them. Which Allah says, yes, the evidence, we gave it to them. That evidence which they required, we gave them that evidence. What evidence is that? Quran. Quran is that evidence. Because it's got facts, historical facts, geographical facts. It got facts about the future, about the prophets, about the different religions and everything. It puts everything in context with all justice, without any exaggeration, without being biased in any way, without unnecessarily inclining to one religion or to one prophet. So, لَمْ يَكُنِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ مُنْفَكِّينَ. مُنْفَكِّينَ means they were never going to budge. Indeed, the kuffar from the people of the books and the idolaters were never going to budge. حَتَّى تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةِ, until a clear evidence came to them. رَسُولٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ يَتْلُو صُحُفًا مُطَحَرًا. What's that evidence? A prophet of Allah reciting to them the sacred scriptures. And what's that sacred scriptures? Quran. So until a strong evidence would come to them, i.e. a prophet of Allah who would recite sacred scriptures, fiha kutubun qayyima, in which strong factual facts were found, Otherwise, they were never going to become Muslims until if Allah had sent something very strong evidence, like a prophet of Allah coming and the reading Quran to them, which was factual. So in this context, Bayyinah has been used. This is Suratul Bayyinah. Next surah. Suratul Zilzal. Surah number 99, page 841, Surah Az-Zilzal. This surah is called Surah Az-Zilzal. Zilzal is the noun of the verb Zulzila. Zulzila is a verb, whereas Zilzal, it's its noun. The reason the surah is called Zilzal, because within the first verse of this surah, the verb Zulzilat has been used. Zulzila means to shake something. In what context Zulzila has been used in the first verse? Idha Zulzilatil Ardu Zilzalaha. Recall the time when the earth will be shaken up vigorously. Recall the time when the earth will be shaken vigorously. Allah is referring to what day? To the day of Qiyamah. So Allah is saying recall the day when the earth will be shaken up. So shaken up is the verb, and zilzal is means the shaking. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. Recall the time when the earth will be vigorously shaken. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And when all its load will be rendered or spilt out. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And the earth will render its load. And what is its load, Aymal? Ajaz? And the earth will... See, Hassan is laughing. These guys are Hafiz, and look at them, the stupid answers they are giving. Allah. And recall the time when the earth will spill out its load. Its load, L-O-A-D, not Lord. So how can earth you render its and bring out its load? Is that possible? It's like giving birth. Shalom. So what is it? What's the answer now? The graves. The dead. Okay? Yes. Grave is still the earth, isn't it? Graves are still the earth. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. And the earth will spill out its load. And it means referring to all the graves, all its dead. وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. In other words, instantly when the earth will be shaken up, now all the dead will be coming out. All the graves will be turned upside down. As this will happen and men will come out from their graves the first time, it will be just a different scenery altogether, unbelievable scenery. So, وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا. Out of amazement, man will say, what's wrong with the earth? Man will say, وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ. Insan will say, مَا لَهَا. What is wrong with it? With it referring to the earth. What's wrong with it? مَا لَهَا. What's wrong with it? يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. On that day, it shall reveal all its information. The earth will reveal its information, not only its physical load, but it will also reveal its facts, information. It will leak all its information. And what information? Hadith says that whatever sin a man had sin on any place of the world, on the earth will give witness, this man, this woman, this gentleman had committed so and so on my back. So wherever the sin was committed, that piece of land will give witness. Unless if you have repented and your sin has been forgiven. There are three main witnesses that will witness our sins. One is the land where we have committed sins, that will give witness. Second witness will be our own limbs. Third is Kiram and Katibin, the angels. When Allah will give witness that you had done this, man, knowing how arrogant he is, man will turn around. Oh Allah, you are giving the evidence and you are giving the witness. How can you be the witness and at the same time make the claim? So I cannot rely on your witness. So Allah say, okay, what if your own self you will give witness? Then this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his limbs of his body speak. Now his limbs of the body will speak out. يَوْمَ تَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَلْسِنَتُهُمْ وَأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. The day when their limbs, their arms and their legs and their limbs will be giving witness against him. Again, the man will say, oh Allah, you made your own angels write things and record things. They were your appointed angels. How do I know whether they have recorded? It was somebody like Abbas, right? So how do I know, Allah, right? They've recorded everything correctly and precisely. This is when Allah, finally, when he will reject Allah's witness, he will reject the witness of his angels. Then this is when Allah will now say, okay, what if your own limbs will give witness? This is when he'll shut his mouth up. But remember, if you commit sin and you ask Allah for forgiveness, do you know the writing in the books, the angels that were they had recorded, they delete that, so it's not there anymore. If you commit sin and you ask Allah for forgiveness, the place where you had committed sin, that is made, the land is made to forget the sin that you had committed. It will not reveal on the day of Qiyamah. If you had committed sins and they were forgiven because you had asked Allah for forgiveness, they will not come and they will not be added on the span, on the pan of your scale of your evil deeds. They will not come. So on the day of Qiyamah, only those sins of your life will come which you did not repent from. Allahu Akbar. Happy with that, Abbas? Anything? How easy it is. True. This is what makes Allah Ar-Rahman. You know, constantly we say Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman. And say, where is Rahman? I can't see anything. I can see only aggression, oppression, right? Misery, hardships, taklif in my own life and everywhere else, wherever I see. Then what is this claim of him being Rahman all the time? There it is. So وَيَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. On that day, it will reveal all its akhbar. What does akhbar mean? You know akhbar even in Urdu means what? Newspaper akhbar, isn't it? Akhbar means news, information. It will reveal all its information. بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَالَهَا. This will be because your Lord will have inspired it. How will earth give out information? How can earth give out information when it hasn't got life in it? So the answer to this is بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَالَهَا. This will be because your Lord will have inspired and will have given that ability to the earth to give out the information. Just like today's modern gadgets, they don't have life. A sort of a human life sort of thing. But they give out information. So what's the problem in the earth becoming a tablet and giving out information? يَوْمَئِذِ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتَا. On that day, all people shall proceed in groups. يَوْمَئِذِ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتَا. On that day, all people shall proceed in groups. لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So that they may go and see the results of their a'mal. لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. So that they may go and check the results of their a'mal. Just like, you know, you go on a GCSE day when the results have come out, A-level day, and everybody is just coming now from all different parts of the country, places, everywhere, and everybody is gathering at one place in order to check the results. In the same way, Allah says, on that day, people shall proceed in groups. You know, just like in the dunya, friends go together. People shall come out in groups, لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ, so that they may see or they may check the results of their a'mal. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. So whoever will have practiced a good deed, خَيْرًا. خَيْرًا means what? Something khair, of a good nature. Whoever will have practiced something good, even to the weight of an atom, يَرَهُ, he will see it. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا. And whoever will have practiced شَرْ, an evil act, شَرْ. Whoever will have practiced شَرْ, مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ, even to the weight of an atom. Dharra means something very, very minute. The smallest thing that one can think of. So maybe even atom is not the perfect word for it. But the nearest word that commentators and translators choose that could fit dharra is atom. Even to the weight of an atom of evil, yarahu, he shall see that also. But again, whatever evil deeds he may have committed, but he has repented. He has repented from them. They will not be existent. They will not exist there. You don't see them. Suratul Adiyat. Suratul Adiyati. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this surah at the beginning, usually as we have discussed so many times, that Allah swears and takes oath by different things. Here in the opening verses of Suratul Adiyat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by the horses that are used in jihad in the path of Allah. You know, Allah loves when somebody or something dedicates themselves in the path of Allah. Allah loves to see that scenery. When mujahideen, when they are ready to give away everything, even their lives unreservedly, they are prepared to give away their lives unreservedly in the path of Allah. Allah loves to see this loyalty and dedication. So much so that even the horses that are being used for this particular noble cause, Allah loves them too. And Allah swears by them in this opening verses of Suratul Adiyat. Allah is swearing by the horses that are being used in jihad. So, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا. I swear by the galloping horses snorting away. Adiyat. Adiyat, you know, you have different types of horses. You have horses, just you keep them as your pets and just, you know, for whatever, your own reasons for riding and just because you love animals and so on, okay? For your own sort of pleasure, for your own pleasure, you keep a horse. That is one reason. Sometimes for riding purposes. Sometimes it might be for jihad. Those horses that are used for jihads and for sprinting and for races, those are called adiyat. Those types of horses are called adiyat. And I was checking the translation in the tafsir, or in the English translation, these horses in English are called steeds. which I was not aware of, that what steeds are. Steeds. Right. Sometimes the translation is coursers. Coursers. And coursers and steeds refers to those horses which are used for competition, for some sort of a very a hard task, like jihad, wars, fighting, racing. Such horses are called steeds in English, and coursers. Allah is swearing by those horses. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا I swear by the galloping horses snorting away. You know, they make these noises as they're sprinting. So Allah is swearing by those horses. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا By those who create sparks whilst they are sprinting away. I don't know, because we haven't seen them, but what we do know, and we've been told, although we haven't seen with our eyes, when these horses are sprinting, once their hooves, they hit the ground, and especially rocky grounds, then it creates a spark. When the hooves, because their hooves are very strong, they're like metal. When this metal sort of type of hooves they hit and strike with the rocks on the ground, then it creates sparks. And especially if they are traveling at that very high speed, you can see continuously, you can see the sparks. So Allah is swearing by these horses that will create sparks whilst they are sprinting away, participating in jihad. فَالْمُورِيَاتِ قَدْحَا By those horses that will be sprinting away, creating sparks. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ صُبْحَا By those horses that raid during dawn time. In jihad, one of the tricks or one of the tips for a success raid is you raid against your enemy at dawn time when they cannot see you. When at dawn time, most of them, you can catch them heedless. They're not on guard at that time. So usually in jihad, or in wars, not just jihad, but usually in wars, when one enemy meets the other, then usually they raid one another during dawn time. And this is the same tactic was used by the Sahaba as well. So Allah swears by those horses that will raid down on the enemy during dawn time. So فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ subha. What does subha mean? Subh, morning, dawn. By those, I swear by those horses that will raid on the enemies at dawn time. فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَى Then they will raise with it cloud of dust. When these horses, with an army, when they are sprinting away in the path of Allah, you can see, I don't know, because we're not used to seeing this in practical life. You'll see that they will create, what they leave behind is a cloud of dust behind them. Allah is swearing by that scenery as well. فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقْعَى Then they will spread with it a cloud of dust. فَوَسَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعَى Then they will enter into the jama'ah. What does jama'ah mean? Into the army. Jama'at, into jama'at, in the group of the enemy. فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعَى I swear by those horses who will penetrate into the enemies. فَوَسَطْنَ بِهِ جَمْعَى إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ Indeed, man is very ungrateful to his Lord. What this could also mean, that why is what's got man, what this was the oath. What was the oath? I swear by these horses, of horses of jihad. After saying all the qasam, the subject of the qasam is, I swear by all this, man is very ungrateful. This is the fact. Maybe Allah is indicating that, look at these horses, they are prepared to give their lives away for man. For somebody who is just feeding them 2-3 times a day, their owner, the horses are prepared to fight for them, for the owner. And I feed you so many times for the last so many years, and you are not prepared to give your lives away for me when these horses are ready to do so. Innal insana li rabbihi lakanud. Indeed, man, insan, to his Lord, lakanudun. He is very ungrateful. Wa innahu ala dhalika lashahid. And on this fact, he is already a witness. He is shaheed. Ji, katana isko rakh do phone beta. You texting him and he's texting you. And ji, isko phone rakh do. Wa innahu ala dhalika la shaheed. It's like this. Wa innahu la shaheed. Indeed, he is a witness. Ala dhalik, on this fact. On this means on this fact that man is grateful, ungrateful. The fact that he is ungrateful, he is already witness to that. Wa innahu lihubbil khayri lashadid. And indeed, he is very strong in love for khair. What does khair mean here, Rashid? Wealth, God. Wa innahu lihubbil khayri lashadid. Whereas on the other hand, he is very strong in love for khair. Here khair doesn't mean namaz, salat and Quran khair, which is really khair. For Allah, here khair refers to wealth, materials. Allah has also considered wealth of the dunya as khair. And no doubt it is khair. We bring it to our use. We bring it to the use of our families. We bring it to the use of the poor and the needy. So Allah has referred wealth as always also as khair. Wa innahu lihubbil khayri lashadid. And indeed a man is very strong. Shadid means what? He's very strong. Okay? Man is very strong. Lihubbil khayri. In the love for khair. Afala ya'lamu idha bu'thira ma fil qubur. Does he not know when everything in the graves will be overturned? أَفَلَا يَعْلَمُ إِذَا بُعُثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ. Whatever is found in the graves will be overturned. Is he not aware of that? وَحُصِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Is he not aware that everything in the hearts will be attained and taken out and extracted? Or jo kuch sino mein hai, sudur means what? Sino mein, dilo mein. And whatever is in the hearts, husila, wo hasil kiya jayega. To hasil kiya jayega means will be extracted, will be attained, will be taken out. Does man not know that whatever the graves contain will be overturned? And what all the contents of the heart will be extracted? Inna rabbahum bihim yawma idhil la khabir. Indeed, their Lord is khabir. Inna rabbahum la khabirun. Indeed, their Lord is all aware. Bihim, all aware of them. Yawma idhin, on that day. Indeed, on that day, their Lord shall be most aware of them. This is Surah Al-Adiyat. Next, Surah Al-Qari'ah. Abbas, topi kyun nahi pehante? Yeah, even respect with the Hafiz class, isn't it, Abbas? It's nice. You know, yes, topi is not directly linked to Islamic ethos. Directly. Okay, but it has always considered as a sign of respect, self-respect and respect for the onlookers. Just like pajamas, you don't come out in pajamas out in public and go to Meadow Hall in pajamas. You go to a wedding in pajamas, Hamza. Can you imagine somebody going in a typical Mirpuri shadi, big shadi, right, somewhere, and you go in pajamas. Will anybody do that? No. Out of self-respect and respect for others. Topi, in by generations, anciently, has always been recognized as a sign of respect, of covering your head, as a sign of self-respect and respect for others. And not too long ago, I remember our own days, we wouldn't dare to go in front of our father, mother, it doesn't matter, father, we wouldn't go in front of our father without the topi on, out of respect. And not just father, if you look at India, Pakistan, okay, not now, I'm not saying now, now it's all sorts happening in, okay. Before, yes, they wouldn't go without, you know, you say, sir, nanga sar karke ja rahe ho, nange sar ja rahe ho in front of someone. The example, you meet somebody much older than you, a buzurg, a alim, your father, and you wouldn't go bareheaded. It was regarded as respect to cover your head with something. So that is something good, and it has to be maintained. That is one reason. Second reason is, now topi and hat of this nature has more or less now become an identity of a Muslim. It's now become an apparent identity. Internally everything, whoever is whatever, right? But your clothes, your shalwar kameez and your jubba, and these have now become an identity. So it's important that we maintain our identity rather than hide away, especially during the times when the kuffar and the Western society has stripped us all from every identity. Beard, they've made us taken it off. Scarves and jubba and hijab from women, they have taken those off from them. Our jubba, shalwar kameez, they have taken those away from us as well. They made us throw away our hats as well. So all the apparent identities we have already been stripped away. And do you know what they have done? They have replaced them with their own now. Now, so you have those jeans. You will be highlighted jeans. They will be jeans with patches on. They will be jeans with tears and rips. You will be having those jeans that are only hanging around your half up from your bottoms. Okay. So this is when now your identity, saving your identity, becomes necessary. To preserve our identity and our say and our sort of what you call our existence. From that perspective, yes. Otherwise, there's no direct connection of topi with deen. Direct. Remember, I'm using the word direct. For example, if you read Salat without topi, what topi has got to do with Salat? No, Salat is done. Topi is not about Salat. Why did Prophet ﷺ put his ihram on and he had no topi on? And they would all read Salat. In fact, you are not allowed to read, you are not allowed to wear a topi during those few days. You shouldn't. If it's something directly to do with Ibadat, then it wouldn't have been allowed that we don't wear a topi. So it's a sign of respect. It's more or less become an identity these days. So from that perspective, yes. Next surah, Suratul Qari'ah. Al-Qari'ah, the calamity. The surah is called Al-Qari'ah because the word Al-Qari'ah has been used in the surah three times consecutively, one after the other. Al-Qari'ah, in what context the calamity has been used? In referring calamity as the calamity of the day of Qiyamah, because there is no calamity bigger than the calamity of the day of Qiyamah. Al-Qari'ah, the calamity. Mal-Qari'ah, what is the calamity? وَمَا دَرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِعَةِ. What do you know, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is the calamity? What do you know what the calamity is? يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسُ كَالْفَرَاشِ الْمَبْثُوثِ. The day when all the people shall become like scattered moths. You know, when you see moths, no weight, and flying away here and there in such large numbers, in the same way, men in such large numbers with no strength will become just as weak and scattered. Kal farashil mabthuth, when all the people shall become like scattered moths. وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَلَعِهِنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ. What does jibal mean, Bilal? We've had jibal so many times. Ji? Sorry? Yes, mountains. Good. Mountains. Okay. وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ كَلَعِهِنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ. And the mountain shall become like carded wool. You know, wool, you have wool, the whole piece of wool, and then with each one, you have many fibers inside. So do you know people who prepare things from wool, what do? They take all the fibers, they separate all the fibers. They first separate all the fibers, and then once again, they put it all together in the way they want to put it. This is called carding of the wool. This is called carding of the wool. So you get the whole thing. What is it called, the whole thing of fiber, of wool? Kya kehte hain usko? Rui nahi hai usko. Un ki usko, ek ek dali ko kya kehte hain? In English. You're saying under your mustache, can't hear you, huh? Cotton bud, wool bud in that case, maybe, wool bud. Alright, wool bud, whatever, right? So within that, from wool bud, each particle is now disintegrated and taken away and separated, and they put it together, and then they whatever material they want to prepare, they'll prepare. This is called carded wool, when everything is, you know, taken off and separated. Allah says mountains will become similar, like carded wool. وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَلْعِهْنِ الْمَنْفُوشِ, and the mountains will be like the carded wool. فَأَمَّا مَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ, then he whose weight of good a'mal will be thakulat. Thakulat means will be heavy. Saqeel. Saqeel means heavy. So he whose weight of good deeds, mawazin. Mawazin comes from the word mizan. What does mizan mean? Weight. Mizan. So whoever's weight of good a'mal will be heavy, فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةِ الرَّاضِيَةِ, he shall be in a very happy life. He shall enjoy a happy life. عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ, he shall enjoy a happy life. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ, and he whose weight of evil of good deeds is light, and evil deeds are heavier, فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ. Sometimes means mother, or most of the times, means mother. Here, ummuhu means his destination. Fa ummuhu haviya, his abode, his destination will be haviya. Wama adaraka ma hiya, and what do you know what that is? What is what? Haviya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that his destination will be haviya. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you know what haviya is? What do you know what it is? Narun hamiya, it's a raging fire. Haviya is a special, in Jahannam there are different types of cells depending on your sins. And there are different categories of cells. And there is so many different names. Jahim, haviya, hutama, and they are all different cells. One of the cells is called Haviya. So his destination will be Haviya. Wama adaraka mahiya, and what do you know what that is? Narun Hamiya, it's a raging fire. So the surat is called Suratul Qari'ah. Remember, I don't want to make tafsir of the whole surat because time will not allow. And that's not the whole point of this is just introducing the names of the surat. Next surah, Suratul Takathur. Surah At-Takathur. The reason why the surah is called At-Takathur, because within the first verse, the word Takathur has been mentioned. What does Takathur mean? If you've heard of this word Kathir, the word Kathir. And what does the word Kathir mean? Ikram? Akib? Junaid? Kathir? Hamza? Sheikh Farhad? Ji, anybody? Ji, God, who said a lot? Omar? Oh, he said it. MashaAllah. Kathir means a lot. Okay. Takathur, it means to compete with somebody to get a lot. So what is Allah referring to here? In other words, the rivalry on competition of the people with one another to become more and more rich. Okay? I should have kaseer, mere paas zyada ho, zyada aaye. To ye ek dusre ke saath jo mukabla hota hai, and the rivalry that you create with other people of becoming richer and having more materials is called takathur. In other words, rivalry in material growth and gains. Rivalry in material gains. So how is that word being used? Alhaakum at-takathuru hatta zurtumul maqabir. Rivalry in material gains have distracted you until you end up in your graves. Maqabir, what does maqabir mean? It's a plural of qabr. Of maqbar. And what does maqbar mean? And qabr means graves. Until you end up in the graves. In other words, constantly in your lifetime, the only thing we see you are doing is you are competing with one another in becoming richer and richer until you end up in your graves. Alhaakum at-takathuru hatta zurtumul maqabir. Your competition with one another in material gains has distracted you. Distracted you from what, Vakas? From the preparation of the akhirat, from a'mal, from remembrance of Allah. Your rivalry in material gains has distracted you until you end up in the graves. Kalla, never what? Never are these things worth competing in. Kalla means what? Never. So depending what is being discussed. So here what is being discussed? That these things are not worth competing. Kalla, never. Sawfa ta'alamoon. Soon you will know. Thumma kalla. Then we repeat once again, these are not items worthy of competing in. Sawfa ta'alamoon. You will soon know. Kalla. Third time we repeat, never are these items worth creating rivalry in. Law ta'alamoona ilma al-yaqeen. Only if you knew, only if you had knowledge with conviction. Only if you had ilma yaqeen. Only if you had knowledge with conviction. Then you would know that these are not worthy of competing. You wouldn't be working 7 days a week then. Kalla latarawunna al-jaheem. You will see the hellfire. You will definitely see the hell. What does that mean? You will definitely see the hell. It means, does it mean that we'll definitely go in? Whether we go in or not, but at least we'll be showed that this could have been your abode had you not practiced good deeds and had you not have iman. But we have saved you from this jahannam and we give you this jannat. This will, you know, this will happen even in the grave itself. In the grave, every dead is shown both abodes, both destinations of different people. He said, listen, you could have easily ended up here, but luckily you didn't. You're getting this. Sometimes if it's an evil man, a kafir, munafiq, someone like that, then his jannat is first shown to him. This could have been your lucky place. But tough luck, because of your own deeds, your own a'mal, because of your kufr, because of your nifaq, we are giving you this in place. So, لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ, you will definitely see Jahannam. Jahim, Jahannam. ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينِ, you will definitely see it with clear vision. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, then on that day you shall definitely be questioned about the favors, all the favors that Allah had bestowed upon you. From water to food to shelter, clothes, parents, education, your physical body, health, wealth, your partners, children, everything, whatever ni'mat Allah had given you, you will be questioned in relation to them. Unless if you have already paid back for them. And how can you pay them back? How can you pay back for them? Your salat. Reading Alhamdulillah alladhi each time after the toilet, Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anil adha, Alhamdulillah alladhi at'amana wa saqana, Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana, Alhamdulillah alladhi kasana wa kasani ma uwari, Alhamdulillah alladhi saqana adhban furatan bi rahmatihi. So if you have already paid its premium, then that's fine. Otherwise, you will be questioned. This is Surah Al-Takathur. Next, Surah Al-Asr. Surah Al-Asr. The reason why the surah is called Surah Al-Asri, because in the first of the chapter starts with Wal-Asri. What does Asr mean? Different meanings of Asr. The time when the day comes to an end, almost coming to an end. Now the shining sun that has been so strong and powerful also starts to lose its noor. And the day comes to an end slowly. Everybody was so energetic. Suddenly everybody is beginning to, their strength begins to fade away. That is also Asr time. The Asr time, we say. It could mean Asr, could mean that as well. Asr sometimes in Arabic language means Asr, and also used in Urdu as well. Hamare Asr mein, is Asre Hazir mein. Kehte nahi, is Asre Hazir mein. Means times, in modern times. So Asr also means Zamana. Asr means Zamana, times, which is not about just, you know, an hour's time of Asr namaz. It refers to some sort of a long period, like a century thing. So when it refers to Asr time, then it's quite obvious. Once it refers to Zamana and century, that is quite obvious as well. Sometimes Asr is just your own life. Your own life, your Zamana, since you were born until you die. So it could be anything. Allah is swearing by this particular time, whether He's referring to the time between Asr and Maghrib. I swear by the Asr time, between the time between Asr and Maghrib. Oh, Allah is swearing by generally the times. And why is Allah swearing by generally the times? Because there is so much ups and downs within centuries. You will see the rise of one kingdom, right, and one empire, and suddenly you'll see the downfall of that empire within less than a century. Within our own life, we see that we were only just a very little baby, and then again, once again, really go up, and then we start to deteriorate. There is so many things happening in our lives, like, you know, happiness, but then again that becomes exchanged to grief. Sometimes starting with grief and then happiness, then again grief and then happiness. Waves after waves of different episodes in life. And this all happens within some time. So maybe Allah is swearing by time, that see how time changes for everybody. Wal asri, I swear by the times. Innal insana lafi khusr. Indeed, insan is in a clear loss. Khusr means nuksan, khasara. In Urdu we say khasare mein hai. So khusr comes from the same word, khasare mein. Indeed, insan bade tote aur khasare mein hai. Indeed, man is in clear loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. With the exception of those people who have iman and who practice pious deeds. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. And they counsel one another to stay on haqq. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. They counsel one another to stay on haqq. وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they counsel one another to bear patience. In other words, every man is in clear loss except if you have four qualities, iman, a'mal salihah, and you pass on and transmit the message of staying on the haqq, and you help one another to remain steadfast and to have sabr. Sabr means perseverance. It means not just sabr like, you know, a calamity comes and you do sabr. Not, that's only one part of it. Sabr generally means that to turn yourself into a mountain on something which is good. And you don't become shaken up by different things around you. You remain consistent. You show steadfastness. That is sabr. Dat jana. Achhe kaamon pe dat jana. So indeed, man is in clear loss except for those people who have iman, who have pious deeds, who will counsel or preach one another of truth, and who will preach one another of having sabr. Suratul Humazah. The next surah is called Suratul Humazah because within the first verse of the surah, the word Humazah has been used. What does Humazah mean? Humazah is a person who backbites, who speaks evil of somebody behind his back. Such a person is called Humazah, a backbiter. The reason why the word Humazah has been used and backbiter has been used because Allah is speaking very low and condemning those people who backbite. And here in this surah is specifically referring to some specific people. And who are these people? The people of Makkah. You know what they used to do? When people from outside Makkah came into Makkah first time, immediately they would make a point of seeing them first before Prophet ﷺ could see them. They would reach out to them first and say, listen, already we've got a madman in the city. You've got to be careful. He is like this and he is like this and he is like this. He has created many social problems in the families. He is breaking ties in the families. Father is here, son is there, daughter is here, mother is there. So they would fill in their ears and backbiting about our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Specifically, Allah is referring to such people who are backbiting behind our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, behind his back. And Allah is speaking evil of them, and Allah is saying, Wailun likulli humaza, woe and destruction be to every backbiter. More specifically referring to the kafirs of Makkah, who are backbiting our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wailul likulli humazatin lumaza. Lumaza is another term. Lumaza refers to people who slander, and they used to slander as well, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So woe and destruction to be to every backbiter, to every slanderer. Alladhi jama'a malan wa addada, who hoards wealth and counts it all the time. Because these were their habits, the kafir. Nothing good, wealth, keeping it for themselves, hoarding away. On the other hand, social etiquettes, another evil in their social life, is backbiting and slandering, not sharing their wealth with other people. So Allah is referring to them. Woe and destruction be to every backbiter, every slanderer who gathers wealth and counts it. Addadahu, to count it. And he counts it. Ginta rehta hai. Yahsabu anna malahu akhladahu. He assumes that his wealth is going to keep him alive forever. Khalid. Khalid means somebody who shall live forever. Or at least it means for a human being, it means for a long time. Khalid. So akhladahu comes from that same word, for something to remain forever. Anna malahu akhladahu. Yahsabu anna malahu akhladahu. Yes, he assumes that his wealth will keep him alive forever. Kalla, never. لَيُنْبَذَنَّ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ. He shall be thrown in Hutama. وَمَا دَرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do you know? What is Hutama? نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَةِ. It is a kindled fire of Allah. نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَةِ. It is the kindled fire of Allah. Allati tattali'u ala al-af'ida, which will reach to their hearts in no time. In other words, as soon as these people will be thrown in the fire, then immediately the fire will leap towards their hearts and will catch them up to their hearts. Allati tattali'u ala al-af'ida, which will leap towards their hearts. Innaha alayhim mu'sada, this fire will be closed on them. Fi amadim mumaddada, in the midst of lofty pillars. In other words, Allah is describing a little scene of the hell. In other words, it will all be closed, you cannot escape. And then there will be pillars around that will be allowing the cell to remain closed. And then you have fire in between those closed cubicles. Innaha alayhim mu'sada, indeed it will be closed. Mu'sada means closed. It will be closed on them. Fi amadim mumaddada, in the midst of long pillars. This is Suratul Humaza. Suratul Fil. It's called Suratul Fil because within the first verse of the Holy Quran, of this chapter, sorry, we come across the word fil, bi ashabil fil. Fil means elephants. Fil means elephants. The reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses elephants, not to talk about their strength, to talk no matter how mighty and powerful elephants be, but Allah is more powerful than them. And Allah will show in this surah how powerful He is and what He did with the elephants and with the people of elephants. A short story, it's a very long story, but let me, a long story short, I'll just cut it very short. Indeed, in the same year that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, but before his birth, but in the same year, what had happened? Do you know that king that I was talking to you about, Yusuf Zunawas, who had done what, Katana? Aapne daadi bahut hilai, ji. Yusuf bhai. Kaun? Yusuf Zunawas. Rashid. Good, Aymal, good. The story from Suratul Buruj. The king and the governor and the emperor, who had thrown about 12 to 15 to 20,000 people in the trenches of fire. That emperor was called Yusuf Zunawas. When he had done this, this was reported back to the Christian empire in Syria and in Yemen and everywhere. that this king has done this to the Christians. Because remember, all these people were Christians and they were the true believers of the time. And Christianity was the dominant religion. It was the only right religion. So the complaint was made. So they decided to overthrow Zunawas. So Yusuf Zunawas was thrown over now. After that, who took over and who became the governor and the emperor of this region of Yemen? Of this region of Yemen, who took over? Somebody called Abraha. Abraha took over under the instruction of the Christian Vatican and the Christian Empire. Abraha was appointed to be the governor of this region of Yemen. In his time, Abraha saw, who was a Christian, he saw lots of Arabs every year during the Hajj time. They go for Makkah, they go to Makkah and they make tawaf of Baytullah and they show a lot of respect. Remember, this Hajj was always continuous from the time of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So even he alayhi salam is not yet born, but Arabs still every year during the month of Zilhajj, they were doing Hajj. He realized and he wanted his place and his church to have that sort of position where Arab tribes no more they go for Makkah. Instead, he should have a church where more people go to his church than the number of people that go for Hajj. So he erected and he constructed a very, very big church. And he lavished the church with all sorts of ornaments and rubies and diamonds. Arabs became outraged because their intention was not very pure. Abraha only wanted the Arab. He wanted to stop the Arabs from doing Hajj. So the Arabs became very. The Arabs of Mecca and this Arab of Saudi Arabia became very outraged. So somehow they abused his church. There are different stories how they abused the church. In retaliation, Abraha decided that he should destroy Kaaba. So he wrote to the Badshah Najashi, the same Badshah Najashi who later on became a Muslim. But remember, he alayhi salam is not yet born. He wrote to Najashi that our church and our sanctuaries have been abused and we have to retaliate. And in return, I have resolved to destroy Kaaba, and I would like your blessings and your assistance and your guidance. So Najashi, he approved, he endorsed the idea, and he sent his very special army with his very special, unique elephant that was not found in the world, the like of it. It was called, he named it Mahmud. He sent this very special elephant for this purpose. And along with that, he sent 8 more elephants. Abraha uses that army of elephants and the elephants themselves, and they decide to march towards Kaaba. In between, the Arab tribes, they tried to confront Abraha's army, but each one got defeated. Allah had his own plans, so Allah allowed them to continue and to process. They continued processing until they now encamped very near, a few miles away from Makkah. Now, any time they'll be coming in now. Long story short. One morning now, tomorrow we are ready. Elephants are going to do the work of cranes and bulldozers. So what the intention is, all the pillars of the Kaaba will be tied with strong iron metal chains. And those chains will then be wrapped around the elephants. And we'll make the elephants walk. And easily, when we'll do it from all four corners, then yes, we can easily destroy the Kaaba. This was the intention. What happens in the morning, that elephant is asked to get ready, and he doesn't get up. They've tried all sorts to make Mahmud get up from his place. He wouldn't. They tried, just to check him out, they tried taking him in another direction back home. And he got ready and started moving. This direction is ready, this direction is ready. Towards Kaaba and Qibla, he's not ready. Sits up again. Within just then, remember they were only just few miles away from Kaaba now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously sent his very innocent army. An army comprising of small little birds that were no bigger than pigeons. They were birds that were never seen by the world before, and hence the birds have no names because they never existed in the dunya. All what the witnesses could see and the observers could see is they could see their stomachs, and their stomachs were reddish in color. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave each of them three bullets. One in their beaks and the other two in their either of their wings. The bullets Allah had given them is small little stones. Small little stones that were no bigger than lentils. Dal. They were no bigger than dal. Because it was a special army of Allah, so who could stop that? No matter what they carried, or even they didn't carry anything, if Allah wanted to destroy them. So anyway, a flock of birds suddenly appears in the horizon, and each one throwing those little pebbles and stones on the army of Abraha and the elephants. And Allah is the one who creates all the strength and gives powers. When these were thrown on the enemy, Allah turned them into really very fast, powerful bullets. And they did not come down as small little pebbles and stones. They came at us as they came down as bombs. The whole army escaped. Almost everybody died, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for some exemplary reasons he kept some few alive, so the story can continue being discussed and being seen and witnessed by these individuals. Abraha, everybody's, they all got perished somehow within immediately, or Allah wanted them to go until others can also see them, and slowly they perish and deteriorated. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his Kaaba with the help of the people, with the help of the birds. So this is why the story is called Ashabul Fil. Ashabul Fil means the men of elephants, referring to the army of Abraha. So look at it now. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Do you not see how your Lord dealt with the people of the elephants? Alam yaj'al kaydahum fi tadlil. Did he not turn their plots in total vain? وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. And he sent on them flocks of birds. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ. أَبَابِيلَ means flocks. Remember, sometimes our generally public feel Allah sent Ababil on them. No, Ababil were not sent. Ababil means flocks. Birds were sent. طَيْر were sent. Birds. So ye hamare اردو میں جو ابابیل کہتے ہیں وہ تو دنیا کے پرندے ہیں جن کو ابابیل کہا جاتا ہے وہ پرندے اللہ نے نہیں بھیجے تھے تو ابابیل کے معنی ان کا جھمگٹا the army is called ابابیل in Arabic and Allah dispatched towards them flocks of birds تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. They were pelting them with baked stones, small pebbles. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَّأْكُولٍ. Then Allah turned them into كَعَصْفٍ مَّأْكُولٍ, into the likes of chewed grass. Allah Ta'ala ne unko bhuse ki tarah bana diya. Allah turned them into like the chewed grass. Think of the grass that is chewed by animals. What is left with it all crushed. In other words, Allah crushed his entire army like the chewed grass.
So when they were Muslim, not Muslim, but technically the people of Deen because they were Christians, so shouldn't they be made the wash in the Kaaba anyway?
Yes. But now comes the rivalry of tribal rivalries now. The Arabs, Saudi Arabs, are respecting Kaaba, and it is their Hajj. Here, these are Arabs as well, I think. These are called Arabs as well. Yemen. And so these are Arabs where their religion is Christianity. Their religion is idolatry. Here, they haven't got the Hajj and the Kaaba where people are not inclined towards. So it was that sort of thing as well. Nationalism. Surah Quraysh. The reason why the surah is called Surah Quraysh is because within the first verse, Quraysh has been used. In what context? Referring to the same Quraysh, which is the tribe of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The clan is called Banu Hashim. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's clan is called Banu Hashim, but the bigger tree is called Quraysh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning Quraysh here to invite them and allow them and to give them the opportunity to reflect that, O Quraysh, you are rejecting the mission of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when I have done so much for you Quraysh. In other words, Allah has done so much for your Quraysh. What did Allah do for Quraysh? Number one, just now, not long ago, what did He do for you? He respected your dignity and honor throughout the whole world when He preserved your Kaaba from the enemy so miraculously that the whole world is amazed and shocked how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to their protection and came as a savior for them. So that way we have, so with the incident of this Abraha, what happened? Tables turned around. Now everybody became so awed. Right, for who? For the Quraysh, for the people of Makkah, for Arabs performing Hajj, and now everybody in the world was respecting these people, that these people are untouchable. If you go anywhere near them, then Allah is going to, you know, take care of you. So by doing this, now everywhere in the world this was a big thing what had happened with Abraha. So now Quraysh were being respected wherever they went. And usually throughout the year, they had made two big journeys. One is in winter, they would go to Yemen. And in summer, they would go to Syria for business purposes. And they would trade in with these goods bringing from different countries to Makkah. Now, because of this incident, wherever they went, in winter or in summer, everybody used to salute them. Oh, Quraysh here, oh, Quraysh here. Special people of God, special people of God. So for their morale, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed the people of Abraha, saved them, and Allah raised their name. And because of their morale, Allah made their journeys of winter and of summer so easy and comfortable for them. So Allah wo ihsan jataate hain. कि तुम्हारी इज्जत के लिए, तुम्हारी तालीफ़े कल्ब के लिए, तुम्हारे कंफर्ट के लिए, तुम्हारी अच्छाई और नाम के लिए हमने ये अब्रहा के लश्कर को तबाह किया. And we eased your journey of winter and summer in different parts of the world. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْش, for the morale of Quraysh, for the morale of Quraysh. إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ, for their morale during the journey of winter and summer. What about it? In other words, because of this reason we destroyed, this sentence is like hidden. We destroyed the people of Abraha against Quraysh. This is so that to raise their morale, to raise the morale of Quraysh. So this sentence chupa hua hai. In other words, we defeated Abraha and we gave victory to Quraysh for their morale. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشٍ, for the morale of Quraysh, for their morale during the journeys of winter and summer. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ, hence in return they should worship the Lord of this house. أَلَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ, who feeds them in hunger وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ, and who grants them security during the hour of fear. When he saved the Kaaba, this was an hour of fear. And whenever they are struck in poverty, they go out and trade in different parts of the world, and this is how they earn their prosperity. Suratul Ma'un, sorry, I'm in a little rush. I'm doing it a bit fast and not going through as thoroughly. There's quite a few surahs to cover yet. Suratul Ma'un. The reason why the surah is called Suratul Ma'un, because in the last word of the surah, Ma'un has been mentioned. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ. This is why the surah is called Ma'un. What does Ma'un mean? In Arabic, normal language, Ma'un means those trivial things that you use for one another. Example, you'll ask your neighbor, can I use your spade? Can I use your spanner? Can I use your screwdriver? Can I use this? Things that you share with one another without any hesitation, you are prepared to do so. Bhai, namak khatam ho gaya, namak de do. Ji, funa ho gaya, ye ho gaya. So minor things that you help your neighbor with This is called ma'un. Very petty things that you help people with. This is called ma'un. So in what context is Ma'un been used here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah is talking about the evil qualities of the hypocrites. That the hypocrites have very evil qualities. Number one, they don't believe in Allah. They don't believe in the day of judgment. They don't respect the orphans. They repel them and turn them away and abandon them. They don't exhort and encourage other people to give charity. Whenever they read salat, they don't read with attention. They miss salat. And whenever they read it for name and fame and to show off that we are Muslims. And when it comes to helping one another, they refuse to help one another. They are very tight. They are very tight and very mean. And they even reject to share their zakat and their wealth as zakat with the poor and the needy. Here Ma'un refers to zakat. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ, and they also reject giving zakat. Because zakat is a very nominal payment that nobody should have a problem. 2.5%. After all year, you spend whatever you want to spend. You've got 90-100% out of 100%. Still at the end of the year, after all your expenses, keep 97.5%. Just give 2.5%. That is very, very nominal. Even this nominal payment, they reject. The munafiq. So Allah is discussing the evil qualities, financial, social, spiritual, evil qualities of the hypocrites in this surah. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you not seen the one who belies in the day of judgment? فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. He's the same person who also abandons an orphan. وَلَا يَحُدُّ عَلَىٰ طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. He does not exhort other people to feed the poor. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Woe and destruction be to those musalli, to those namazi. Destruction be to those namazis who are heedless of their salat. Referring to the hypocrites. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاؤُونَ. Those hypocrites who only show off. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. And they also reject giving nominal payment. Nominal payment referring to? Zakat. Good. And they also refrain from paying nominal kind payment referring to zakat. This is Suratul Ma'un. So the word ma'un has been used. Ma'un generally means those very trivial and minor things that we all pass to one another within the neighborhood. Here refers to zakat. And in this surah, Allah discusses the evil qualities of the hypocrites. Suratul Kawthar. The surah is called Suratul Kawthar because in the first verse the word Kawthar has been used. What does Kawthar mean? Kawthar generally it means all goodness. Kawthar means goodness. Kawthar means goodness. So if, when Allah says, Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar, we have given you Kawthar, which means in broader perspective, it means we have given you all goodness. We gave you Iman, we gave you Quran, we gave you Islam, I made you Prophet. I made you the leader of all the Prophets. I've done this, all the good things. So Allah is saying to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have given you Kawthar, means we have given you a lot of goodness. And of course, within Kawthar, it also refers to what? That special Kawthar, special goodness, which comes in the name of the fountain of Kawthar, which Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be given on the day of Qiyamah. It also refers to that as well. But that is only one little piece under the general umbrella of goodness. So indeed, we have given you Kawthar. I don't want to go into the explanation of Kawthar. There is a deep a lot of details about the real Kawthar of the day of Qiyamah. But no time now. Inna a'atainaka al-kawthar, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have given you Kawthar. It means a lot of goodness. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ. So do read salat for your Lord. فَصَلِّ. Salli means read salat. So read salat for your Lord. وَنْحَرْ. وَنْحَرْ means do qurbani. إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرْ. Indeed your enemy is abtar. The little background. When our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was losing male sons one after the other. The kuffar started cheering and they're saying, O Prophet Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have no progeny to continue after him. Do you not see that every time he has a male child and he passes away, very soon he will be gone and his progeny and his family will be gone and everything will be forgotten and he will have no name left. Which in Arabic, the word they use is abtar, abtar, abtar. Abtar, they refer to somebody who will have no name and fame, who will have no name and trace after him. Such a person is called abtar. If I say to you, you are abtar, it means you are a person, you have no izzat, you will have no izzat after you're gone, you will not be remembered. So they called our Prophet ﷺ abtar, abtar, Muhammad is abtar. Soon there will be no name and fame for him. Soon there will be no trace of him anymore. When they started saying this to our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comforted him with these verses that, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite the fact that they are calling you abtar, just because we have taken one son of you or two sons of you from your physical life of this dunya, but on the other hand, on the other side, we have given you so much goodness in its place as a substitute. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ إِنْ وَنْحَرْ. In return, you be grateful to him by reading salat and doing qurbani, sacrifice animal. And then, now Allah turns to the enemy. Allah says to Prophet ﷺ, indeed your enemy. And who this particular person who said this is an enemy called As ibn Wail. As ibn Wail in the time of Prophet ﷺ was a very bitter enemy. And he's the one who was carrying these stories. So he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him that, O Prophet of Allah, your enemy As ibn Wail will be one day, will be a person who will be abtar. He will have no name, he will have no fame, and he will have no trace. And yes, it's so true, even kafir knows about Muhammad. Okay, but who knows about As ibn Wail? Not even a Muslim knows about As ibn Wail. Did you know about As ibn Wail? Tumhara chachu hota hai wo. Nobody knows about As ibn Wail. Inna shani'aka, indeed your enemy, huwal abtar, he is the one who is abtar. Suratul Kafirun. The surah is called Suratul Kafirun because in the first verse of this chapter, Allah says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Kafir and kafirun refers to those people who reject Allah, or who reject the Quran, or who reject Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, called kafir. Here the kafirs are being addressed, and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being asked to announce to the kafir. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, announce to the kafir, يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. O kafirs, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. I don't worship what you worship. One day they came to to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the kafir of Makkah. They came to him when they found their efforts of stopping him fruitless. So one day they came with a compromise, and they all sat around him and they said, listen, shall we not make a compromise? He alayhi salam said, okay, go ahead, what's the compromise? He goes, you worship our gods for 1 year, and we'll all worship our gods for 1 year, and second year we'll all worship your god. Abbas, how do you find that compromise? I thought you would say it's good, compromise is good. You like compromises, don't you, Abbas? All right, so this was an uncompromisable compromise. This was an uncompromisable compromise, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam totally rejected. And this is when this surah was revealed, that let them know, I don't worship what you worship. Never will I ever worship in future what you worship. You are not going to worship what I worship, and you will never worship what in future you will not worship what I worship Allah. So you get on with your religion and I get on with mine. No compromise. Qul, announce, Ya ayyuhal kafirun, O the kafirs, La a'budu ma ta'budun, I don't worship what you worship. Wala antum abiduna ma a'bud, nor do you worship what who I worship. Wala ana abidu ma abadtum, and neither in future will I ever worship what you worship. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ, nor in future you will be ever worshipping who I worship. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ, for you is your religion and for mine is my religion. You go your way and I go my way. Simple. Surah Al-Nasr. When now the Islamic mission under physical presence and the spiritual presence of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was almost over, now thousands had already entered into Islam, and now victory of Makkah was already gained. Now even the most bitter enemies that nobody had ever expected that they will one day embrace Islam, now had embraced Islam. There was no way that the keys of Makkah and the keys of Kaaba will ever be handed over to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But that day Allah also showed him. Once the mission was now over, the prophetic mission was over, he alayhi salam received this revelation only about 80 days before he passed away. 80 days before he alayhi salam passed away, when he was in performing his final Hajj, the month was Zil Hajj. And remember, he died in Rabi'ul Awwal. So only approximately 80 days before he passed away in Rabi'ul Awwal, he alayhi salam received this revelation, this surah called Suratul Nasri. And it's called Suratul Nasri because in the first verse, the word Nasrullah is being used. And what does Nasr mean? Help. Nasr means help. In which Allah is saying, now that the help of Allah has already come, victory has been gained, thousands have entered into the Islam, onto the fold of Islam. So now, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you become secluded in glorifying and singing the hymns of your Lord and beg his forgiveness. Allah is going to surely be forgiving you. In other words, what was being said? Your mission is over. So now just dedicate, enjoy that one-to-one with Allah. The big major communal responsibilities or global responsibilities of prophethood is now over. Now you become free to enjoy one-to-one with Allah. This surah is called Surah Idha Ja'a Nasrullahi Wal Fath. This is only 80 days before he passed away. After that, when there was another verse, Yastaftuna Qulillahu Yuftikum Fil Kalala Inimrun Halaka Laysa Lahu Walad. The last one or two verses before Surah Maida starts, end of Surah Nisa. These were revealed to him when there were only about 50 days left of his life. And then after that, when there were only about 35 days left of his life, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. These were revealed to him when there were only about 35 days left. When there were only about 21 days left, the last verse of the Holy Quran, and no more revelation after that. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. So إِذَا جَاءَ is one of the last surahs to be revealed. As a whole surah, this is the last surah. There was no other surah to be revealed after him, as a complete surah. There were only two, three scattered verses, but not complete surah. This is the last surah to be revealed. This is why, if you look at Surah An-Nasr, it says Madaniya. It was revealed in Medina, and on the way to Medina, maybe after Hajj. And if you look at the number besides it, it says what? 114. And how many surahs are there in the Quran? 114. And this is the 114th surah. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ. Now that the help of Allah has come, and as well as the victory. Which victory Allah is referring to here? Fath. Ji? Shaykh Farad? Which victory, Hamza? Fath Makkah. The conquest of Makkah. Makkah has been conquered. It was the biggest challenge of the time. Now that the help of Allah and victory has come along, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. And you have already witnessed people entering into the deen of Allah in flocks. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ. Sing the glory of your Lord, or glorify the hymns of your Lord. وَاسْتَغْفِرُهُ, and beg his forgiveness. إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Indeed, he is most forgiving. Next surah, Surah Al-Lahab. Sometimes this surah is called Surah Masad as well. If it's called Surah Masad, this is because the last word of this surah is called Masad. And if it's called Surah Al-Lahab, then because of the word Lahab in the first verse. One day our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got all his very near family people together. This was in the early days of Islam. And remember, within his immediate family members, there was his own uncle called Abu Lahab. That's his real uncle. His name is Abdul Uzza. His name is not Abu Lahab. Abu Lahab is his title, his nickname. His real name is Abdul Uzza. It means the slave of Uzza, and Uzza was the name of idol. Uzza is the name of an idol. So his name was Abdul Uzza, the slave of idol. His nickname was Abu Lahab. The reason for that, he was very handsome. His face was very reddish. And people called him, because of his red, handsome face, people called him the man of fire. As though fire was lighting on his face. Ji, Agwala. Lekin Allah ne ye naam Agwala isliye rakha ki aag mein jana tha usne. So he alayhi salam gathered all his near family people together, and he gave them dawat of Iman and Islam. This gentleman, he stood from his place and pointing at Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his hands and with his fingers. And he said, "Woe and destruction be to you, O Muhammad. Is this why you got us together? For this reason you got us together? The family together? We thought you were going to talk about family issues." He, because he like He slandered our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He swore our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He abused our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In retaliation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this surah called Suratul Lahab, in which not only Allah slandered him, but Allah also slandered his wife called Umme Jamil. Umme Jamil, his wife, also shared the same works with her husband in creating animosity and enmity with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And both of them together as a couple did not leave any stone unturned, right, against our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This lady, being a lady, you know what she could do? Okay, she could not go out and do things publicly. She would go out in the forest. She would gather bushes of thorns. Okay, and she would bring them and she would hide them under the sand on the way of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked, of course you cannot see those bushes and those thorns under the sand. But whenever he walked, he alayhi salatu wasallam would become injured because of this lady. Allah has discussed the couple in this surah, both the husband and the father, the husband and the wife. Tabbat yada Abi Lahab. May the hand, both hands of Abu Lahab be destroyed, because he used those same hands to curse our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah says, both hands of Abu Lahab be cursed, and he be cursed. Ma aghna anhu maluhu wa ma kasab. Neither his wealth nor his earnings could help him. Sayasla naran dhat lahab. Very soon he shall enter the blazing fire. وَمْرَأَتُهُ as well as his wife, حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبُ, who continues carrying the firewood, who continues to carry those thorn bushes. فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَّسَدٍ, in her neck is a necklace of palm fiber. Maybe, what does it mean? Does it mean Allah is talking about what will be her situation in the hellfire, that she will have a necklace of fire around her neck? Is that what Allah is talking about? Or is Allah describing her in of the worldly appearance? That is that lady who carries firewood on her head and has a necklace made of palm leaves, because that's what she used to wear. So whether Allah is talking about that necklace that she used to wear in her lifetime, and Allah is describing this lady with her appearance, or whether it is what she will be wearing on the day of Qiyamah in Jahannam around her neck, it could be either way. So this is Suratul Lahab. Ikram, tired? Shall we stop or finish off? So what shall we do? So why am I not tired? You're just listening, I'm also talking. I've had a long day, longer than yours most probably. Gee, you know, you've got to create that stamina. You have a lot of physical stamina, playing football 90 minutes up and down, right? Playing in all different positions, right? You've got the stamina of being in front of the, you know, the your gadgets for hours and hours, playing PlayStations and FIFA and everything for hours. You have stamina of being in the gym, right, for puffing and sweating, you know, for hours. Why is it when we come to the masjid there is no stamina for hours? This is what we need to build up, our stamina of staying in the masjid for hours without affecting us. And the more you sit, the more comfortable you become. Shall we start from today, Ikram?
Comfort makes you more tired.
Jay?
Comfort makes you more tired.
Comfort makes you more tired.
Yeah, you feel more lazy.
Jay, I don't understand you. I don't know. You are definitely very tired. Jay. Next surah, Suratul Ikhlas. One day our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being asked that, can you describe Allah? Who is Allah? What is Allah? Can you describe your God? So in description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this surah was revealed, in which who is Allah, what are his qualities, is being mentioned very briefly. And the surah is called Suratul Ikhlas. Ikhlas means purity. Have you heard of this term? Ikhlas-e niyat means the purity of intention. That you have, you should be ikhlas, you should have ikhlas in your niyat. Your niyat should have purity. You should have pure intention. So ikhlas means purity. The reason why this surah is called ikhlas, although there is no ikhlas being used in the surah, you will not find the word ikhlas in the surah. But the surah is called Suratul Ikhlas because the story is about purity of deen. What is purity of deen? Believing in only one Allah, Tawheed. That's the biggest purity, to believe in only one Allah. This is why the surah is called Suratul Ikhlas, which means the surah of purity. Because in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being presented as pure from all defects and faults. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Remember they were asking who Allah is. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being asked, قُلْ, say to them, هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. He, Allah, is all alone. اللَّهُ الصَّمَدٌ. Allah is Samad. Samad is very, very difficult to translate in English. It cannot be translated. It's one of those Arabic words that has extensive meanings and multiple meanings which cannot be put in one word. Samad is a being that everybody else depends on him, but he doesn't depend and rely on anybody. He doesn't need anybody, but everybody else needs him. Such a being is called Samad, which cannot be translated in one English word. So if you say he is all independent, then okay, he doesn't need anybody, he is independent, but it doesn't give the meaning that other people depend on him. It doesn't give that meaning. So different translators have stated different meanings, but still not the same. So Allah is Samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad, neither did he beget nor was he begotten. In other words, neither did he give birth to anyone nor was he given birth by anyone. So of course the nice way of putting it is neither did he beget nor was he begotten. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad, and nobody is of his standard. He's uncomparable. Nothing can be compared with him. This is Suratul Ikhlas. Of course, not going into the fazail and everything about it, because your tiredness and your eyes will not allow me to go into the detail. Suratul Falaq and Suratul Nas. Allahu Akbar. Whilst our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in Medina, he is surrounded by lots of enemies. Some internal enemies who are hypocrites, who come to the masjid, read salat behind him, they are all the time in bayan, they also go in jihad. And they are outside enemies who are the Jews, who are clear enemies. So he is surrounded with all sorts of Jews, all sorts of enemies. And sometimes when this fire of jealousy that lits and kindles in the hearts, then it's unstoppable. Then there is no sort of limits to it. People can go very far in jealousy and in hatred and everything. So here was a typical example. A Jewish man called Walid ibn A'sam. Walid ibn A'sam, he somehow got one of the attendants of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one little boy who used to come to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house to give him a helping hand in the household chores. He somehow he made him get the hair of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam together with his comb. So now this hired child who used to come to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house, he gives this comb or part of the comb and the hair of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to this Jewish man. The Jewish man, he plays jadu and black magic on this. And he creates 11 knots. You know, they do stupid things. They tie needles with it. They make knots and they hide it in crazy, dirty things. And they read things with the name of Shaitan. So anyway, this is how somehow he carried out his work on it. After that, he hid this in a well called Dharwan. Nearby, outside Medina, there is a well called Dharwan. Deep in the well of Dharwan, under a rock, this taweez and this hair and comb was hidden. He, alayhi salatu wasalam, now becomes affected with this black magic. Remember, just like a human being can fall ill because of the physical aspects around him, okay, in the same way, he can also become affected with natural spiritual things as well around him. So he, alayhi salatu wasalam, now fell not physically ill, but psychologically ill, mentally ill, where he would not do a certain thing, but he would feel as though he's already done it. So he would ask, "Have I already done this? I think I've already done this." And he was told, "No, you haven't done this yet." It was a big thing. For 6 months, he, alayhi salatu wasalam, suffered this. The effect of black magic played by a Jewish man. It's very hard for us to understand how could, on one hand, a Jewish man playing black magic, and that could be effective on the best of all the prophets who is still receiving revelation of the Holy Quran, but still affected him. One day, while Sahih Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asleep, he is visited by two angels, one on his head side, one on his feet side, and he is asleep. In his dream, he sees that the two are communicating with one another. One is asking the other, "What's wrong with him?" The other one is saying, "He's been black magicked. He's been bewitched." Then he asks, "Who's done it?" So then the other angel answers, "Walid ibn Asam." "What items has he used? What has he done black magic on?" So the other angel replies that he's done it on his comb and hair. And Prophet ﷺ is seeing all this in the dream, is listening, is hearing all this in the dream, in his dream. "So where has these items been put now?" So the other angel replies, "They are in the well of Dharwan, under the rock." And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wakes up from his dream. He instructs most probably Ali radiyallahu anhu to go and visit this Dharwan well and to take things out under the rock, identifying everything to him, that you'll go to this well, you'll find a rock deep down, and under the rock you'll find certain items and you will bring them. Little different narrations, some narrations vary a little. Anyhow, this was brought to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were exactly found the way he, alayhi salatu wasalam, had seen in his dream. And now he sees those hair, and he sees 11 knots on them with needles. This is when these two surahs were revealed to him, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. The first one with 5 verses and the other one with 6 verses, altogether 11. 11 verses were revealed to him, and now Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reading, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. And now look at the magic of Quran. Now the knots started undoing by themselves. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. One gone. مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ. Another one gone. And he continued reciting these verses that were revealed just to him now for this particular reason. And now eventually all the knots had gone. He felt very much now in comfort and in relief. This is when these two surahs were revealed. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi. So this first surah is called Falaq, because in the first verse of this surah, Falaq has been used. Falaq means morning. Falaq means morning. So قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Say, read, I take protection in the Lord of the morning. Min sharri ma khalaq, from the evil of everything he has created. Wa min sharri ghasiqin idha waqab, and from the evil of night time when it becomes intense. Wa min sharri nafathati fil uqad, and from the evils of those who blow into the knots. Wa min sharri hasidin idha hasad, and from the evil of a jealous man whenever he commits jealousy. Then say, A'udhu bi Rabbin Nas, I take protection in the Lord of the people. Malikin Nas, in the King of the people. Ilahin Nas, in the Lord of the people. Min sharril waswasil khannas, from the evil of waswas, from the evil of the whisperer. Waswas means the whisperer. Who is the whisperer? The shaitan. And it could be a human being as well. From the evils of the whisperer, who draws back, who whispers and draws back. Al-khannas, who draws back. Alladhi yuwaswisu fi sudurin nas, who whispers into the hearts of the people. Min al-jinnati wan nas, whether from the jinn kind or from the mankind. Any questions? I'm sure there aren't any. Any questions? I'm sure there aren't any. Hassan, lots of questions tonight. Next lesson. Okay, chalo, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashahad wa la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayka. इस तरह करते हो गोया आप लोग सब 5 बजे उठ जाते हो, सुबह और तहज्जुद पढ़ते हो. As though this is really so late for you, and this is past your bedtime, and you all wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to read tahajjud shafarhat. True, isn't it? Exactly, you wish, but it doesn't happen, does it? Last minute before the college starts, 8:30. जी चलो जाओ बेटा. रिमेंबर फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल लेट मी अनाउंस योर मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंट अनाउंसमेंट एवरीवन. ऑल दीज नोट्स आर गोइंग टू बी अवेलेबल इंशाल्लाह इन द नेक्स्ट कपल ऑफ डेज. ऑल दीज नोट्स आर गोइंग टू बी इन द रिटन फॉर्म अवेलेबल ऑन द ग्रुप ऑल ओवर फ्रॉम फर्स्ट टू द लास्ट. फ्रॉम द फर्स्ट लेसन दैट वी स्टार्टेड इंट्रोड्यूसिंग वन सूरत एट अ टाइम फ्रॉम अलिफ लाम मीम, राइट, until the end, there will be a written test. There will be katana. Aaoge ya nahi aaoge? Ji, main dekhta hu ki kaun coward banta hai. All right, there will be a written test from lesson 1 when we started introducing alif lam mim until qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. What do you guys think? Good idea? Ji. No. When I'll be, you know, I'm going for Umrah for 2 weeks. So for those 2 weeks, there will be nothing. Okay, so you just stay at home, no lesson. Because I know what you're up to when you are in the lesson. So better if you stay at home and revise in your own time. Okay, and listen, don't worry, it's just about going through once. And it's just about reading small basic facts. Ji, and inshallah, that's about it. Ji. What does that mean, open book? What do you mean? Can you open the book? Is that what you're asking? Yeah. No, written one. Okay, a written one. So quietly everybody will get on with it. The papers will be marked and the results will be announced most publicly. If not internationally, then at least on a national level. Okay, Hamza will be revising inshallah this in Makkah and Medina where these surahs were revealed. Hamza will be revising where these surahs were revealed. Yes, the notes are self-explanatory, all very in simple, clear words. Right, which I haven't given you the task of writing it down and everything. It's been so simple. The notes are going to be just as simple. You just have to go through it once properly. And what's the most important thing is attendance on the examination day. No, I'm sorry. You always come up with something like this.
It's going to be an intense test. There's going to be a lot taken for a lot of people. To be honest. It's up to you, obviously. But that's
Ji, Omar, kya kehte ho? Rashid?
Depends how long the notes are. My notes are pretty good.
I think they're good about, I would say, 15 lessons. So what's so difficult about, say, example, chalo, let's divide into two. Let's divide into two. In other words, test paper one, and that I will write on the on the group, that from lesson so-and-so till lesson so-and-so, test paper one. Test paper two, from lesson onwards, from there until the last. So the test is going to be in two sessions on consecutive week, one after the other, without a break after that. In other words, for example, one Wednesday, test paper one, the Wednesday after, test paper two. Okay, you think you only know about these test papers? I know them as well, because I've been through. I'm not totally an illiterate man. I've been through these tests as well. Inshallah. So I think we'll have the examination for you in one go. You are, I think, over literate. Chalo beta, jao.